Was there an Adam? Was there an Eve? Or did we evolve from what we conceived? Either way, we got what we needed when the sun shone down on the Garden of Eden.
So we had to work to pay the cost. And so we went digging into the ground and started to burn many things we found.
Yes, we did. We started to burn many things we found. That was the great Dar Williams singing the Solartopia song with Pete Seeger and David Burns. We're back for another Solartopia Green Power and Wellness Show. I am Harvey Wasserman. We've got two great guests today, Susan Corbett from South Carolina Sierra Club. Susan, are you there?
I am here. Can you hear me?
I certainly can, and I'm sure all our listeners can. And Michael Marriott, the amazing and longevity champion, executive director of the Nuclear Information Resource Service, talking to us from Washington. Michael, you're there?
I'm here, Harvey.
All right, wonderful, wonderful. So, Susan, I guess you can only stay with us for about 15 minutes.
Right.
You're welcome to stay as long as you want. You have band practice, is that what I heard you say?
Yeah, I am. I'm in a little musical group, and we're practicing to perform fairly soon. So this afternoon was the only time we could do it. Helen Caldicott is in town tonight, so I
can
do my usual Tuesday night rehearsal. So we did it in the afternoon, so I can be around later today when Helen comes into town.
And what instrument do you play?
I play guitar, and I sing, and I also play keyboards.
All right. Good for you. Michael, you're a drummer, right?
I'm a drummer.
Fantastic.
He's a hell of a drummer, too. I heard him drum.
Yeah. He's the Ginger Baker of the entire nuclear movement.
Got it.
All right. Well, enough of this small talk. What we got on our hands is two great nuclear experts, people who have been doing this for a long, long time, very successfully. Susan, you're in South Carolina. Is that correct?
Yes, I am. In the belly of the beast.
Man.
I really am, Harvey.
Well, we generally refer to South Carolina as a different body part, but we won't go into that. So,
what was it? Too big to be a state, too small to be an insane asylum or something like that?
Something like that, yes. Well, you have the distinction of firing on Fort Sumter, so congratulations.
Yes, we did that too.
Right. So tell us, Susan, what is the Sierra Club doing about the Volktl reactor and the loan guarantees? That's the number one item, as far as I can tell, in the movement about nuclear power and the whole fate of our energy supply in this country has to do with the $8.33 billion in loan guarantees that we thought were a done deal for the Volktl reactor plants, two of them, but now seems to be up in the air. What can you tell us about this?
Well, you're going to have to talk to those Georgia people if you want to talk about Vogtl. I've been trying to stir them up about that for a long time. You know, all I can do is deal with what goes on in my state. And what we're dealing with the VC Summer plant, which already has one unit here outside of Columbia, and they want to build two more units. And strangely enough,
let's start with VC Summer. Of course, whenever I hear VC, I think of the Vietnam War. But VC Summer is one of the two reactor projects now allegedly under construction in the United States. And there are two reactors.
Oh, it is under construction.
Well, tell us, how far along is VC Summer?
Well, they're doing site preparation. I mean, they haven't gotten as far as Vogtl, where they just laid the concrete and found out it wasn't level.
So they're
going to have to learn those lessons when they come over here to lay the concrete. They're probably a year behind Vogtl, but
What is site preparation?
Well, you know, it's where they clear it and grade it and mark everything out and get, you know, just kind of get everything ready. You know, like when you build a house, you got to go in and prepare the site. You know, so. I haven't been out there in a while, but, you know, that's what they're doing right now. But as far as the loan guarantees, you see, Summer they haven't applied for a loan guarantee. They've been saying all along they're going to do their own financing, which we find is kind of, we're not sure about that because the cost of the reactor is going to be more than the company is worth. So it's going to be interesting to see if they really are able to come up with the money. They have partnered with our state-owned utility, Santee Cooper. Santee Cooper would own 45%, SCE&G would own 55%, but lately Santee Cooper has been getting cold feet about it, and they've been trying to kind of sell off part of their section to Duke. So all of this financing stuff is very much up in the air, and they're very closed mouthed about it. They won't talk about it. They have used the QIP law that was snuck through our legislature.
Tell us what QIP is, please.
QIP is construction work in progress, and it allows them to pre-charge the ratepayers to help with the financing cost of getting these things up and going. And we were one of the first states to get a QIP law introduced in the South, and we didn't recognize exactly what it was. We were also fighting Barnwell at the same time when they snuck this through. And we all lament the fact that we didn't fight it at the time, but we really didn't see it coming, and it went through so quickly, kind of under the radar. But they're using that. They've been raising the rates since 2009 to pre-charge for this thing. So
now, what is the current price tag? What's the current price tag on the summer double reactor project?
I'm not at my computer. I think it's $9 billion, $12 billion, something like that.
Slight range. This is for two reactors.
Yeah, and you know what? This is just like it was in the 70s and 80s. They don't really know what the price tag is going to be. It's the same thing that killed them the first time around. The money is just ridiculous. And that's the only thing that we're hoping is that they just see the projections that they used for growth to justify the building of this of these
growth,
units.
Growth of energy
the projections
demand.
Based
you
on 2006 of, numbers before the 2008 crash. And then they never went back and rectified that. In fact, we heard they were going to be selling a lot of this excess electricity out of state. So basically the ratepayers are bearing the risk and the cost so that we can sell power to Florida.
Okay, well, this is Harvey Wasserman, the Solartopia Green Power and Wellness Show. We're on with Michael Marriott and Susan Corbett. Susan is from South Carolina. She's telling us about the VC Summer Plant. I have posted, Susan, at nukefree.org, N-U-K-E-F-R-E-E.org, a release from NC Warn, North Carolina anti-nuclear group, consumer group, that the VC Summer Project will depend on a rate hike in North Carolina. Here you've got a reactor project where the actual price tag is, of course, a moving target, like all these nuclear plants are. And what they're saying in North Carolina is that the builders of VC Summer are going to have to get sell the power into North Carolina, either to Progress Energy or to Duke. And there will be a fight in North Carolina to prevent them from getting these rate hikes, and that if they can, VC Summer will be doomed. Are you there? It is NC Warren.
Yeah, I got that.
Okay, so what do you think about that? Will North Carolina be able to kill this South Carolina reactor project?
That's very possible, and you know the VC Summer is not the only one. We've also got the Lee County reactor up in Cherokee County that Duke wants to build. So we actually have four reactors on the drawing boards in South Carolina, which would give us a total of 11, tying us with Illinois for being the most nuclearized state in the United States. And North Carolina's definitely got to figure into this whole thing, and they don't have a QIP law. Well, they have a little QIP, but they don't have a super QIP. And Duke has said that they won't build the Lee reactors unless they get the super QIP passed. So we're trying to urge the North Carolina Sierra Club to fight that and make that a big priority. And there are really, really powerful consumer groups in North Carolina that will be fighting these rate hikes. So I think it's very possible that we could see positive outcome for us in terms of this, because people just are starting to wake up and realize that these nuclear power plants are just going to, you know, raise their rates. And they're going to fight it. Not just the environmentalists, the ratepayers, the AARP, consumer groups, people on fixed incomes, they're fighting back. We had them show up at our most recent rate hearing, just a whole host of angry senior citizens coming in. They're going, why are you raising our rates? You know, so people are starting to wake up and fight back about this.
And this is in South Carolina, where people have not been willing to rise up except in defense of slavery. Sorry about that. Okay,
stop.
I'm a historian. What can I tell you? Okay, we'll let you off the hook on that one. You weren't part of firing. You didn't have any role in firing on Fort Sumter, did you? Personally,
no. Well, I have family on both sides, sir. I have family on the southern side and family on the northern side. So.
Oh, all right, good. Okay, so
camp.
This letter from N.C. Warren, which I posted at nukefree.org, Director Jim Warren, basically said SC nuclear project likely hinges on North Carolina approval. In South Carolina, are these rate hikes for the summer reactors a done deal? I mean, is there any way you're going to be able to fight them effectively and to keep them from winning on this?
There is a rate hike coming up. We don't know exactly when. We are going to intervene in that, and we will show up in force. Last time we intervened, we had people showing up in barrels, you know, with no clothes on, saying we were being fleeced. I mean, we had a great show of it. It was funny, and we shamed the Public Service Commission, and they can't keep going back to that well because we have called them out and made it a public thing. And if we go back again here, we're going to do it again. And it's becoming painfully obvious that they can't keep on within their budgets, and they're having to raise the rates, and this whole nonsense that they published in the state paper about 7 cents a kilowatt for nuclear is just a lie.
So they've already, I guess, wrecked the site, right? They took down all the trees and bulldozed and killed all the animals. You're saying nothing else has been done there at summer?
Well, they're building another lake. I think they're building another lake, or they're expanding Lake Monticello. See, the water issue is another big thing that we've been concerned about because they're all using the Broad River, which runs down from North Carolina, and both the Lee plants up in Gaffney and the VC Summer plant, along with a couple of other, the Cliffside Duke, the coal plant, these are all power plants that draw tremendous amounts of water out of the Broad River. So we've been joking that by the time it gets to Columbia, which it's Columbia's drinking water, it will be the Skinny River. It won't want to be the Broad River.
Uh-huh.
And so they're doing some preparation about that because they're having to expand the lake size, I think, or added capacity for the cooling. I haven't been up to the site in the last year,
okay.
So I can't tell you exactly what's been done. But they are moving forward. I mean, there's something going on every day. There was actually something on the evening news last night on the NBC local news about the summer plant. They had shots of the machinery in the background.
Give us some odds,
Susan. Talking about it. So they are moving forward. They're going forward and acting like it's going ahead.
Give us some odds here. What do you think the chances are of you stopping them between North and South Carolina, of you denying them the money and forcing them to quit this thing?
I think we can stop it.
Good. Well, we'll take your word
to that. I think we can. I think that that's going to become painfully obvious, just as it was in the 70s and 80s, that combination of things, the water issue, the fact of the economy and the economics and the waste issue, I think just all the combination of things, that these things are just going to, they're going to see there's a better way to do this.
Well, here's a quote from Jim Warren's, N.C. Warren's release, which I posted at nukefree.org. Summer is impacted by the federal lawsuit against AP 1000 design filed last month by N.C. Warren and 8 other public interest groups. This month's independent report on Fukushima bolsters the main premise of our suit that the NRC, Nuclear Regulatory Commission, has not analyzed the enormous risks posed by multiple units located near each other. North Carolina ratepayers will not become suckers for a nuclear project that's mired in massive cost problems while still in the cradle. What do you think?
You are such a fast-talking Yankee, sir.
that's the North Carolina press release.
I'm sorry.
What's that, Michael?
They read it much slower when they're in front of the mic.
Oh, all right. Well, we'll talk about that part of it later. But Susan, give us where can people go to help you and to follow the fight against the summer boondoggle here?
Well, two things real quick. For all of my fellow Sierra Club activists and members around the country, we are having the first ever National Sierra Club No Nuke Strategy Summit in Washington, D.C. On the first weekend in May. And we have a whole host of amazing people coming, including the esteemed Marriott and
Arnie
Gunderson. And we're gonna try to figure out how the Sierra Club can I'll put together a campaign to work on all of these things, from local things like quip battles to the national loan guarantee thing. This is a big issue. I've got my senator, Jim Bennett, saying that they should remove all loan guarantees for all energy sources. It's like the only thing I've ever agreed with him on, you know.
What did he say? Jim DeMint said something you agree with?
I know. He said he introduced legislation to kill loan guarantees for all energy sources, including nuclear.
Well, what's he saying about the summer plant?
He thinks that all energy sources should be able to stand on their own in terms of how they're funded. And if they did away with the loan guarantees, that would end the nuclear renaissance.
Well,
sure.
Yeah, but is he opposing the summer plant? Is Jim
DeMint
opposing?
Not opposing the summer plant. He's opposing federal loan guarantees.
All right. Well, we can talk about that. Maybe at the Sierra Summit, you and Michael can get together, and you know, he can drum for you, and you can sing and play your guitar.
We will.
That's very possible.
I'm going to go back to rehearsal here, and I'll let you guys figure out how to continue this. And we will carry our weight down here in South Carolina, and I appreciate all the work that you guys do and all the work you do, Harvey. And, of course, I talk to Michael and Nears all the time. They're a tremendous resource for the Sierra Club and all of us activists out here. So,
Susan Corbett of the South Carolina Sierra Club, thank you so much.
Thanks,
we
right.
appreciate your work down there, and we're counting on you to stop the summer plant.
I'll do my best. We'll do our best, not just me. It's a whole team of people down here that are amazing, actually, really.
Wonderful. Fantastic.
All right.
We'll talk
Take
to you
care,
again.
Take care, y'all.
All right, now Michael. Michael Marriott of the Nuclear Information Resource Service. You are the longest-serving executive director of NIRS, I assume.
By far.
By far, yeah. When did you take the reins there?
I took the reins as executive director in October of 1986.
That's in the precincts.
Yes, it is.
That's 25
years
ago.
You're making me feel old, Harvey.
You're not as old as I am, believe me.
I was going to mention you're an even longer-lived veteran than I.
I am, indeed, thankfully. Knock on wood. We'll take that. So, Michael, what do you think about the prospects for stopping summer, having heard Susan Corbett on the ground?
Well, you know, it's something that we've been following very closely, and as Susan mentioned, you know, helping out as much as we can down there. It's a tough battle. There's no doubt about it, particularly if they can self-finance it, because, you know, they're not relying on loan guarantees. They're probably the only nuclear project in the country right now that's not relying on loan guarantees. But they, you know, as you noted and as Susan noted, there are some weak spots, and the weak spots are the North Carolina aspect, whether they can get the rate increases they want from North Carolina. And, you know, even though Summer does have the QIP law that Susan mentioned, where, you know, they're collecting in advance from ratepayers, there is a provision, at least, where if there are cost overruns, the Public Service Commission can alter the terms and can put the kibosh on it entirely. And it's not automatic. The Public Service Commission down in South Carolina is, very much beholden to the utilities. But, you know, if we start seeing the kinds of cost overruns we saw with the first generation of reactors, the Public Service Commissions are more likely to put a stop to it before they get so high rather than the way it was before.
Well, do you know much about the price tags of this thing? I mean, can you tell us what they cost in the beginning at Summer and what they're saying now?
I don't know what Summer was saying at the beginning, but, you know, I do know more generally about the AP1000, and so I'll talk about that for a second. The AP1000 is a new design. It's from Westinghouse. It's, you know, arguably safer than existing reactor designs, but we have seen estimates all over the place from just a few hundred miles away from each other as to what these things will cost, and that means that somebody is not estimating properly, because we've got the two units of Vogtle, both AP1000s. That's in Georgia. And the Southern Company is still claiming that those two units will cost about $14 billion.
Total,
for
seven
both
each.
Of them. Right, yeah, for 14, 14 and a half, somewhere in there. Summer has consistently, for its estimates, undercut Southern Company's price. But you go just a few hundred miles down the road to Levy County, Florida, But they've also got two AP1000s proposed, and the current estimate for those two is over $22 billion.
Slight, a very slight discrepancy here.
So we're talking about, you know, the exact same reactors at three different sites in the southeast, I mean, within a few hundred miles of each other.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, there's just absolutely no understandable rationale why you would get such wildly different estimates.
Let's run the range again. Summer, they're saying $14 billion for two.
Vogel, they're saying $14 billion for two. Summer, publicly at least, has usually been coming in under Vogel. I think, as Susan mentioned, I think they're around $12 billion for two. And Levy County is a minimum of $22 billion for two. Now, the only difference is that Levy County is a greenfield site. There is no reactor there now, so there is a little bit of extra work that would need to be done. It's just 3 or 4 miles from their Crystal River nuclear plant, so it's not a lot of work that needs to be done to hook up to the transmission lines and that kind of thing. It's a little bit extra, but it's not, it's not $10 billion extra.
So, unbelievable.
So these different estimates are, I think, you know, can be seen as the reality is that these utilities don't have a clue as to how much these things are going to cost.
It is astounding. And so they're pushing ahead now in both Georgia and South Carolina with nuclear plants that have no firm cost estimate.
Well, they have firm cost estimates. The question is whether they can possibly meet them. And I think we just put this out on Twitter yesterday, another thing that came out of NC Warren, where the foundation that they've been, you know, which is obviously the first thing you do after you do the initial site preparation, less than 2 months after getting their license, Southern Company already has problems with the foundation. And they are going to the Nuclear Regulatory Commission to get a license amendment to allow them to have a less solid foundation than the license calls for.
Let's talk about that for a second. So they're building a nuclear plant. Let's run this from top to bottom. They're building a nuclear plant. They have approval for a certain strength in their foundation. They start building the nuclear plant. The concrete that they're using turns out to be faulty, and so the foundation will not meet spec. So what they've done now, and correct me if I'm wrong, is gone back to the Nuclear Regulatory Commission and asked them to allow them to have a weaker foundation?
I'm not sure if it's a case where the concrete is faulty, because I'm not sure. I don't believe they've even gotten to pouring the concrete yet. It's their calculations. And this is going to get a little bit technical, but it's their my understanding, at least, is it's their calculations about the ability of the soil to withstand putting in a concrete foundation. It's a soil compaction issue.
So it's the earth problem.
So they haven't even begun putting down the concrete. And it might remind you, by the way, that the big factor in the enormous cost overruns in the reactor they're building in Finland right now started with this exact same kind of problem at the foundation level. You know, when you're building a project like this, you know, just an enormous construction project, one of the largest construction projects in the world, you obviously are starting with the foundation. It's the underpinning of everything you're doing. And for them to just come back within 2 months and say, well, you know what, this soil isn't what we thought it was. I mean, it's just remarkable. And it's going to lead to, we predict it's going to lead to very large cost overruns. This is just the beginning.
God, mind-boggling. We're talking to Michael Marriott. Michael is the executive director of the Nuclear Information Resource Service in Washington, D.C., one of the leading experts and longest-standing activists on the nuclear scene, very, very well-informed, talking about the Vogtle reactor, two new reactors being built in Georgia, which I believe will never be finished. Michael has just told us. Michael, well, I have a petition up, actually, at nukefree.org, N-U-K-E-F-R-E-E.org. I'm trying to get moveon.org to jump in and help us beat the loan guarantees, which we'll talk about after the break. And, Michael, you have a petition also. What is your website, please, Michael?
NIRS.org.
NIRS.org. Mm-hmm. We are at 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. This is Harvey Wasserman on the Soartopia Green Power and Wellness Show. Michael, this sinking at Vogtle does recall another reactor that did sink and was forced to be abandoned, which is the Midland nuclear plant in Michigan. The great Mary Sinclair was up there fighting them. It was essentially to produce power for Dow Chemical. And, you know, slight problem, the thing started to tip into the earth, and they had to abandon it. Was that before your time?
Well, I was around, certainly. I was a baby, of course, but I was around for the end of Midland, yeah.
Good, good. And, of course, they took the Midland component, I think they took the reactor pressure vessel, and cut a hole in the Davis-Bessie reactor near Toledo and stuck the lid from the old pressure vessel, as I recall, on top of the pressure vessel at Davis-Bessie. That was one of four times so far that they've cut into the containment dome to fix the infamous Davis-Bessie reactor. I mean, you know, I had a car from a 1963 Valiant that, you know, rusted out finally. It kind of reminds me of the Davis-Bessie plant. And I guess we could see the same thing now happening at Vogtle. I mean, it could sink. Is that right?
Well, in my view, the best thing that could happen would be for the NRC to deny them this amendment and let's be done with it. That probably won't happen given the current makeup of the NRC, but... sure. I mean, if you are putting in a foundation for an enormous structure like this, and the foundation isn't right, you're going to have problems later on.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, well, kind of reminds me of the Supreme Court, you know, the Gang of Four there. We have Gregory Jaczko, the chair, who does actually seem to think that there may be reasons to pay attention to nuclear safety. And then we have the four commissioners, other commissioners, who are just totally in the pockets of the industry. Is that a fair assessment, Michael?
That's a completely accurate assessment. Greg Jaczko is the chairman, and while he's certainly not anti-nuclear, he does have, I won't say a passion, but he has a respect for regulation and a commitment to nuclear safety and an understanding of the issue, and that's why these two licensing votes we've had for Vogtle in the summer, the vote has been 4-1, with the chairman of the NRC being the dissenting vote. And that should tell you, what you need to know about the NRC at this point.
When you have the chairman
saying, we're not ready to license these reactors because these utilities are not ready to build reactors in the post-Fukushima era.
Michael, let's hold that thought. Dana Wines will come in and sing the Soartopia song here, and we'll pick this up after break. We're with Michael Marriott. This is the Soartopia Green Power and Wellness Show, and we'll be back in a couple moments. All right, back at the Soartopia Green Power Wellness Show. That was the great Dana Lyons, Cows with Guns fame. Look it up on the Internet. We're with Michael Marriott, Executive Director since 1986. Is that right, Michael?
That's right.
Of the Nuclear Information and Resource Service in your 26th year. Congratulations. And we are talking about the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, and we're going to jump into the leading campaign in the nuclear industry right now, I think, which is against the loan guarantees allegedly designated for the Vogtle construction. I have a piece up on it in my blog at nukefree.org, N-U-K-E-F-R-E-E.org. And Michael Michael's website is NIRS.org, which I'm working at right now. Michael, you're also running a petition on the loan guarantees, but let's finish talking about the commission, Nuclear Regulatory Commission. We have a gang of four, Scalia, Alito, Thomas, and Roberts, and then we have the chairman. Roberts is the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, but he's on the corporate side. Gregory Jasko, the chair of the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, seems to be at least somewhat concerned about actual regulation. What a concept. He was attacked. I just want to get this out. I mean, he was attacked for his allegedly for his managerial style by the other four who went whining to Congress about, Gregory's beating us up. I thought that was really obnoxious.
It led to some pretty remarkable congressional hearings in terms of creating a lot of sound and fury that, you know, signified nothing, as they say.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I have to say that Nancy Pelosi and some of the others really picked up, you know, that the four were whining about this so-called managerial problem, but in fact, it was because they're industry flunkies and didn't like a chairman who actually took regulation seriously. Is that an overstatement of the case?
Well, yeah. I mean, Greg was pushing and has been pushing for a speedy adoption of new regulations to, you know, incorporate lessons learned from Fukushima, and the other four commissioners have been trying to drag the process out. You know, where we differ with Mr. Jasko is we don't think the recommendations the NRC has come up with are good enough, but we do appreciate the fact that at least he's been trying to, you know, move along what he can you know, against the opposition of the other four commissioners.
Right. Okay, very good. So the commission, and now when there should be another appointment up soon. Doesn't Obama get to put somebody on the commission this year?
It usually comes around in June. Usually if somebody wants to be renominated, they get to be renominated. And, of course, there can only be three members of any one political party on the commission. And I don't actually know who is up. I think it may be one of the Republican members.
Well, how many Greens are there?
They don't get represented.
Well, why not? Are we a democracy?
Have you talked to the White House lately?
Yeah. All right. So, Michael, let's get to the big one here, the 8.3 billion pound gorilla, which is the loan guarantee for the Vogtle reactor. Now, a little background, George W. Bush was president at some point, and in 2005, a loan guarantee program was put up at the DOE, Department of Energy, which included $18.5 billion for new nuclear plants. Now, you and numerous others joined together in 2007 to prevent $50 billion more from going into this fund for new nuclear plants. We won that battle. It was a huge victory. The money didn't get allocated until last year, even any of it. And then Barack Obama went to Georgia and said, here's $8.33 billion in taxpayer loan guarantees to build these two reactors at Vogtle. Now, we all thought, everybody thought this was a done deal. Well, we knew it was a dumb deal, but it turns out to be not a done deal. Can you tell us about this?
I can. When President Obama announced the loan guarantee, it was announced as a conditional guarantee, and the public conditional, the public condition was said to be, you know, first they had to get a license, and we thought, and by we I mean the broad we of all of us here who, you know, follow this issue closely and meet on these issues every 2 weeks in Washington. We thought that was the only condition. But as it turns out, they haven't reached terms on these loan guarantee, and these terms of these loan guarantees are very complicated.
Well, who are they, first of all? Who are the principal negotiators?
There's three players here. There's the utility, in this case the Southern Company. There's the Department of Energy, and there's the Office of Management and Budget, which is a White House agency. And
does the OMB have to sign off on this guarantee legally?
Yes, they absolutely have to sign off on the guarantee. And a couple things have changed since this was first announced in February 2010. One is that, of course, the project hasn't gotten any cheaper in terms of cost estimates since then. Two, and more importantly, especially from the perspective of the White House and the OMB, it was the failure of the Solyndra loan and the incredible backlash that generated among, you know, especially among congressional Republicans who started attacking the entire loan guarantee program, and, you know, just raising a big ruckus about it. And, you know, it's our sense that it's causing the Office of Management and Budget to, you know, take another look at the terms, because, you know, is there anybody out there who thinks that, you know, if this loan, which is 15 times larger than the Solyndra loan, failed, that, you know, the same group that, you know, has hammered the White House over the Solyndra loan wouldn't hammer them over the Vogtle loan, even though, of course, they all support nuclear power. You know, of course they would. I'll use it as an excuse. So OMB is being very careful. And one of the, and there's also been another development, which is that the Southern Alliance for Clean Energy, which is based in Knoxville, Tennessee, and has done a lot of work against the Vogtle plant, recently won a Freedom of Information Act lawsuit against the Department of Energy, which is going to force them to divulge at least some of the terms of the loan guarantee. The Department.
Wait. Let me stop you there. Are you saying that the terms of the loan guarantee are otherwise secret?
The terms have been secret. We haven't been able to get, you know, even a anything more than an inkling out of Department of Energy since the program was first announced. You know, years ago, the Department of Energy is considered everything proprietary, everything secret.
That's astounding. And the $8.33 billion taxpayer loan, and the public is not allowed to know the terms of the agreement?
That's correct, and that's why, you know, the Southern Alliance for Clean Energy filed the lawsuit. And they didn't win entirely, but they did win part of it. And the important part they won is that the Department of Energy is going to be forced to reveal what's called the credit subsidy cost. Now, to explain this, it's pretty easy. When you buy a house, you take out a mortgage. You take out a big loan, and you put 20% down. That down payment is, in the loan guarantee business, you know, essentially called the credit subsidy fee. It's basically a down payment. I mean, it's a little more complicated than that, but that's the, you know, most understandable way of looking at it. The Department of Energy, a couple of years ago, you know, when this was first announced, they wouldn't say exactly what the credit subsidy fee was, but, you know, in congressional testimony from Energy Secretary Chu, it became clear that it was going to be, at least from DOE's perspective, somewhere in the 0.5% to 1.5% range.
Instead of 20%, they get to put up 1%?
Correct.
That's exciting. Why don't we all go out and buy houses like that?
Well,
I think that's what happened,
you know,
actually.
Back in 2005, 2006, we could. It caused a great recession.
Right.
Or one of the causes, anyway. But now, there is some reason to think that Office of Management and Budget is taking a look at that and some of the other terms and saying, you know what, you know, that may not be enough. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe we're going to have to bump it up a couple more percent. Now, remember, you know, 1% of a $8 billion loan is a lot of money. And when you start getting up above that, you start getting into, you know, really serious money. You know, there's been one.
Well, but a nuclear plant's a pretty serious investment, for God's sake.
Well, that's right. There's been one other loan guarantee offered during this period, and that was to the Calvert Cliffs plant here in Maryland. And they were offered a loan. We believe it was in the $10 billion range, although it was never stated exactly how much it was. But they were expected to pay a much larger credit subsidy fee, somewhere more than 8%. They were looking at about $800 million they were going to have to put up, and the local utility, Constellation Energy here, took one look at that loan offer, dropped out of the project because Constellation's entire financing method was, we're not going to put any of our own money up for anything. And, you know, once they realized they were going to have to put some of their own money up, they dropped out of the project.
So the Calvert Cliffs plant is basically dead.
Well, we're expecting to get a ruling from an Atomic Safety and Licensing Board later this spring that will finally kill it for sure. Because what happened is that after Constellation Energy dropped out of it, its partner in the project took over 100% of the project, and its partner is Electricité de France.
Oh, EDF,
and,
right.
Right, and it is against the law in the United States for a nuclear reactor project to be owned by a foreign entity, which clearly Electricité de France is. It's a foreign company which is actually owned by a foreign government. So unless they find a partner, you know, in the next couple months, a new American partner, which appears extremely unlikely, they're going to be denied a license.
Maybe they can get Solyndra to go in with them on it.
I don't think Solyndra has enough money these days.
Yeah, well, that's never bothered the nuclear industry.
Nor the interest, actually.
Right. So I want to make sure everybody understands. This is Harvey Wasserman. We're at the Solartopia Green Power and Wellness Show with Michael Marriott, Executive Director of Nuclear Information Resource Service. He's just explained to us how the Calvert Cliffs project is all but dead. And I want to make a point here that, you know, this is a big nuclear project backed by huge corporations, and basically it was stopped. And those of you who believe that you can't beat City Hall should remember that that's a myth perpetrated by City Hall. We've been beating the nuclear industry for a long, long time, and I believe that we're about to end all prospects for building new nukes in the United States. The big focus now is on the $8.33 billion loan guarantee laid out for the two reactors proposed for the Volktl site in Georgia. Michael Marriott's been helping lead the charge on that at NEARS.org. Michael, you have a petition. Tell President Obama and Secretary Chu, stop taxpayer loans for Georgia reactors. How's this going, this petition campaign?
Well, it's going pretty well. Nearly 9,000 letters have gone in so far.
Wow.
And, you know, we're still working it and still trying to publicize it, you know, to get more. Because I did want to jump back to this. The point of the Calvert Cliffs story was, of course, the terms of the loan guarantees matter. Now that we've learned that the terms of the Vogtle loan guarantee are not settled, it is... We now have the opportunity to put pressure, especially on the Department of Energy, to not approve this loan, to point out that, hey, things have changed. Vogtle costs more than it was going to. It's already delayed. They're already having problems. And you guys have just been raked over the coals for your previous loan guarantees. You should stop and think about this one. So we have the opportunity now to say, whoa, slow down, you know, back off, let's just stop this loan guarantee. If they can't get private financing, that's their tough luck. It's not, you know, you can't put this on to the taxpayers.
How much did Solyndra put up? What percentage of their $535 million that they lost had they put up?
They were actually under a slightly different program, which was under the stimulus bill, and they didn't have to put up anything.
Oh. So what is... Southern, which is the parent company of Georgia Power, which is the prospective builder of the two at Volktl, two reactors, what do they want to put up? What are they asking for?
Well, they'd love to put up nothing, but we believe, obviously, you know, this, they've never said anything publicly on this, but we believe they want 1% or less.
And what is the OMB saying, or if anything? Office of Management and Budget.
OMB never says anything. I've been in meetings at OMB, 30, 40-minute meetings, and they don't say a word. But they do listen to everything you say.
Well, they sort of take the Clarence Thomas approach.
Exactly.
Although we don't know if Clarence Thomas hears anything
they're
saying at the Supreme Court. But
We're pretty sure he's not listening anyway, but certainly not in any of the cases. We had before him. But so, no, OMB never comments. But, you know, I think it's rational to assume that, you know, given all that's happened, given the risky nature of nuclear power, and I don't know if you noticed this today, but Moody's, you know, the investment rating company, just threatened to downgrade Electricité de France and a British company called Centrica if they go ahead with their plans to build new reactors in the United Kingdom.
It was basically
a pure threat. You build these reactors, you are going to be downgraded. And that's the kind of thing that, you know, we can, you know, that's the kind of economic thing that, you know, affects entities like Office of Management and Budget in terms of assessing risk.
Well, how independent of the White House, of Obama, is the OMB? If Obama turns around and says, I want these guarantees to go through, give them 1%, will the a 1% stake allow them to put up only 1%, let's put it that way? If Obama came around and said that, would the OMB be obliged to do what he says?
I suspect so. The OMB is part of the White House. I suspect they would, but, you know, Obama's not going to say that. Obama may, you know, he's not going to say give him 1%. He may say, I want to see this loan go through, find a way to do it. That remains possible, and that's why, you know, Obama's one of the targets of our letters, to put pressure on him as well.
Mm-hmm.
But it's more likely that, you know, the way things work in Washington, you know, he obviously has, you know, put some prestige on the line in support of this loan. As recently as a few weeks ago, Secretary Chu was talking about it as, you know, sort of a signature achievement of the administration in terms of its support for nuclear power. In fact, it was the only signature achievement he could name. But, you know, there's another clue here, perhaps, which is that this year, for the first time in 3 years, the Obama administration did not ask for extra money for the loan guarantee program for nuclear power.
Yeah, that's a big deal. That's the first time since 2005, I think, that no one has come forward for new money for loan guarantees for nukes. Is that correct?
I think Obama's first year they didn't ask for it. Probably because they, you know,
no, but somebody in Congress did. This year, I don't think anybody even I don't even think anybody in Congress this year asked for more nuclear loan guarantee money.
Well, yeah, the year's not over, but it is significant, I think, that the administration, which has asked for $36 billion more for the last two or three years and has been defeated at every step of the way.
Thanks in part to you, by the way, Michael Marriott of the Nuclear Information and Resource Service.
But they seem to have woken up and said, okay, we're not even going to ask anymore.
Good. Well, that's good. That's the end of an era, I think, in a lot of ways.
So now, you know, our goal is to, you know, instead of stopping new money, we want to stop the money that's there now. And it's the 8.3 for Vogtle. And then it's the other $10.2 billion that's still there that they haven't been able to give away yet, which is actually, when you think about it, also pretty remarkable, is that they've got more than $10 billion sitting in a pot, and they haven't been able to give it away.
That's amazing. Why haven't you applied to build a nuclear plant?
I didn't play with erector sets enough when I was a kid.
Or destructor sets. We're with Michael Marriott, Executive Director of the Nuclear Information Resource Service, talking about the $8.33 billion taxpayer loan guarantee, which is now back on the table. Michael, what do you think the chances are of defeating this?
I don't think they're high, to be honest, but if you'd asked me that 2 months ago, or even 1 month ago, I would have said they were zero. So I think there is a real chance. I wouldn't put it, I wouldn't put it above 50-50 at this point, but it's, certainly in the 30-40% range.
Now, what will happen if...
And we've faced, you know, much higher odds before, so...
Yeah. Well, what do you think should happen? What if a senator or a congressperson called the OMB and said, hey, I want the information on this. I want you to hold this loan until we can have a hearing?
First of all, it's not going to happen. Congress is staying far away from loan guarantees these days, you know, because so many of the ones that were complaining about the Solyndra loan and the loan guarantee program in general turned out to have, you know, supported it all along or supported particular companies, or, you know, they were basically found with their hands in the cookie jar. Congress is trying to stay away from this, from the specifics of this program right now. And the other thing is, of course, as I said, the DOE has been keeping the terms secret, and they've been keeping everything secret. I know, for example, that Representative Dennis Kucinich submitted a lot of questions to the Department of Energy, and I know this because I helped write them, you know, asking for some specific information about the loan program, and he never got a response.
Jeez, they just blew him off?
I don't know. He may have gotten sort of a, you know, a form letter saying, you know, we can't help you, but I don't know if he got no response at all, but he certainly got no substantive response.
Well, I just pulled off your website, NIRS.org, a letter to Fred Upton, the chair of the House Energy Commerce Commission, from four members of Congress, asking that there be an investigation of the nuclear loan guarantees in the wake of Solyndra. This was Diane DeGette, Henry Waxman, Ed Markey. I thought there was one other who signed the letter. Did they ever get a response, and why has nothing been filed? Why wouldn't there be a hearing on the nuclear loan guarantees? Has there ever been one?
There have been hearings on the loan guarantee program over the years, and in terms of nuclear in recent years, that has mostly meant beating up on the Energy Department for getting loans out so slowly to nuclear companies.
Oh, my God.
The letter you're talking about was specifically saying we want the Vogtle loan investigated in the wake of Solyndra.
Has there been an investigation?
There has not, and name is Representative Cliff Stearns of Florida, chairs the, I don't even know exactly if it's a full committee or subcommittee, but he's got jurisdiction over it, and he said, no, we're not going to investigate the Vogtle loan because nuclear power is a proven technology, unlike all this solar stuff.
If it's a proven technology, it's not supposed to get federal loans.
Well, he didn't seem to realize the irony in that, that the federal loan guarantee program is specifically designated for unproven technologies.
Exactly.
That's the whole reason to do this kind of program, is to take the risks that that private money can't take because of the nature of the risk. And, you know, you can argue that nuclear is in there, but it's to take the risk on new technologies. It's to help propel new technologies forward.
Right, and this is a very old technology and a proven failure. We're with Michael Mariel. We're just about out of time talking about what I think is the key thing that people can do right now is to stop this $8.33 billion in federal loan guarantees for going to the Vogtle reactors proposed in Georgia, actually slightly under construction. You can go to NIRS.org and sign Michael Mariel's petition. Over 9,000 people have done so already. I just floated one through nukefree.org in UK. EFREE.org. We've got over 400 signatures in less than 2 days. We want to stop this. We think we can. Michael, as we fade away here, tell us what people can do immediately to shut the nuclear power industry. Give you a minute here.
I want to talk to your listeners in New England for a moment, because this Saturday there's a large rally in Brattleboro, Vermont, to close Vermont Yankee. Senator Bernie Sanders is going to be there. The governor of Vermont is going to be there. The attorney general of Vermont is going to be there. And, you know, there's a huge movement in Vermont right now, and it's growing and building, and we want to see, you know, everybody in New England out on the Brattleboro Town Square this Saturday.
Wonderful. Michael Mariel, of Nuclear Information Resource Service, Executive Director. Michael, if you can come back regularly, we want updates on all this stuff. You've been doing great work for 25 years, and you're also a pretty fair drummer. So I wish you good luck in both your careers. This has been the Solartopia Green Power and Wellness Show. I'm Harvey Wasserman. Next week we'll have the two people from the Washington Occupy Movement. Kevin Zeese and Margaret will be with us to talk about the Occupy Movement and more on nuclear power. Michael, I hope you'll be a regular guest. Go to nukefree.org and nirs.org to sign the petitions against the loan guarantees. Keep the faith, no nukes, and we will see you in Solartopia.
Into the ground, it started to burn many things we've found, but
don't you know we're gonna have a Solartopia, Solartopia, Solartopia.